Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
Also to say, well, look at that. Such an outer thing, can you find him? At the moment, they can give a such an outer thing, can you? Such an outer thing. So if you see through a microscope, the air will appear to be full of microbes or insects, which the heaven it is now. So if our eye becomes to the level or to that level or that what is in the air magnified to come to our level, we will be able to see it. If in man's body the wonderful house we live in, it is called nine apostles, but we cannot run away out of it. There are two eyes, two nostrils, mouth, 2 ears, 2 underneath. You cannot run away out of it. So body works as long as we are in the body. We are in the body as long as some power keeps us in the body. When that is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So God resides in the body. We also reside in this man body. God also resides in this body, keeping us in the body. So man's body is the highest in all creation. It is a golden opportunity afforded to us to enable us to see God. So in man's body only we can know God and no other body. So saints tell us, when strange enough, while God is with us in the body, we see him not. He says, though to see every man in top blind. Is it? Fight on a lifeless life like this. They see light is in everybody. Take it that the light within you is not darkness. The master come, well, all right. They make people see you who do not see it. It cannot be seen if it is not already there. So Kabir says, the world, entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. But he says, wherever I see, all are blind in the terminology of the speech of spirituality. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened ones, all are perm blind. Man who sees him there and you do, other people do not see, naturally they are spiritually blind. When you come to a master, what is there? He makes you see. Open your inner eye or the third eye or the single eye which you can be seen. So in the terminology of the saints, the word blind means not those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner or single eye is not open. So the eyes of flesh see him not, but the master illumines the eye, is it, within. The worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God in himself. When master comes, he opens the inner eye. No, why can't we see again, I would say, enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds, not less darkness. Without a perfect man, none has found the way, nor one can do so. As I submitted yesterday, you know, all outer specs, subjects, we need somebody to guide us in the outer ways, those ways which are at the level of holding faculty, mind, or interest. And this is a way which is, with all philosophies and their religion stops. There's needed somebody to usher you into the beyond, to rise above body consciousness, to draw your attention from all outside, and open the single eye to see the light of God. Here also such a person requires, when you go beyond there also you need him. You guys look at the two. One comes across a perfect master, he cannot see. When he comes to the feet of the master, he begins to see. We are blind before coming to him in the terminology of the saints. When he gives a sitting, we become alive. When we come to him, we are deaf, spiritually deaf. When he gives a sitting, we begin to hear the sound of voice of God. The master said, you see, what the old prophet did all their best but could not see. You hear what the old prophet could not hear. Are not such people are most fortunate to have a living master? So body is well in the true temple of God, and the Holy Ghost dwells in it. Emerson says, tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. This foxhole in the brain is called Brahma Rudra. And President Truman also referred to it that when he was tired with the outer performance of duties, he entered to the foxhole of the brain. Vedas call it, Brahma Rudra, perception, intuition, and reasoning. Just help to understand the reality to certain extent, not beyond. Now, this is your understanding. At the level of being trained by seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye, this inlet and ingress, we know little or nothing about that. This is what the Master gave. So Nanak says, the blind know not the door. And Christ refers to it, now can it shall be opened unto you. Whoever hears my voice, I shall pass sup with him and he will sup with me. So we will have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, or the third eye, Shivnetra within us. God said, let there be light. The result was what? There was light. Say so. And this is the sunlight that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And light is the life of man. That light is within you. Take heed that the light within you is not dark. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life. Go hand in hand. Ringing radiance, you might say, to what you use to get. Ringing radiance. Emanating from the formless absolute existence when it came to manifest the world in its relegated colors or countless shapes and forms. Thank God, He has made all creation and He is not still away from that. He also permeated it. He is permeates in all creation, He is still quite above all this creation. So this pervades all four grand divisions of the universe. Kabir says, I went to Mecca. On the way, God met me, began to rebuke me. Kabir, who told you I am residing here, not I mean you? Why are you coming here? The one who resides in us, we leave this body and go out of such an outer thing. Can you ever find him? At the most, they can give us incentive towards we should know God, nothing more. Places of pilgrimage, holy temples, They remind us there's something, there's some God. They say praise is there. So Master tells us that, is it possible to see God? Now, again, can we see God? Guru Nanak was put this very blunt question. He said, yes, God is pervading everywhere. Master, say what they see. And don't give any reasoning for that, because they are competent to give a demonstration of that. Let you see God. Christ was asked, is there any Lord? They said, yes, behold Lord. The same word. He's nearer to the angel. And the limbs. In the scripture say, he's so nearer to you, nothing in the world is nearer to you. In the very life of you. The Guru Nanak asked, what is that? Kabir also asked that. He said, I was in doubt. Really, is it so? Because when my eye was open, I really saw him, then all my delusions gone, all my doubts have vanished now. And I see him here. So God is one, though there may be many ways, outer ways of worshiping Him. But the ultimate, the inner way is the same for all. A Vedic saint tells us, the archers may be many, but the target is the same. So kingdom of God can come on earth. Peace reigns supreme in the world. If some sweeter master is there who can give us a demonstration of the inner way which will give us true peace in the world and right understanding. No politician has ever been able to peace, to bring peace in the world and harmony and cooperation. If their work is in harmony and cooperation with the spiritual masters, then the world peace would be achieved quickly. The masters, when they come, are conscious of God at the very time, in the beginning. They come, even the childhood, they are conscious of God. Guru Nanak was sent to the school to just have some education. And the teacher began to teach him. One, two. The procedure for this is, wait, stop, wait. What do you mean by one? A child of 4 or 5 years old. And he said, this one means this one what? You see, he's conscious. Then he said, what is he? Because all this creation has come out of him. He is eternal. He is the maker of all creation. He is the ruling power. He has got no equal, no enmity with anybody, no fear of anybody. He surely has an existence. And he has come out about his own self. None is the maker of him. Then the teacher asked him, what is this? How can we hand? Can we? With the grace of the master. That's the gift of the master. So, how can we have it? What does it one stand for? He said, I do not mean by saying one. I mean this one stands for something else which is expressed as one. He is neither one nor two. He is something which can be experienced. We can go into him, absorb into him. The experience of which can be given by a master. And he can give us a realization of that one. For which one stands for. And how? He said, burn away all attachments outside. Burn away all attachments. And make it ink. And with your conscious self, go on writing the praises of God. As long as we are attached all outside, we cannot know ourselves. And when we know ourselves with our conscious self, we can see Him what He is. Kabir was asked, if I say one, then the question of two arises. That equal to calling Him names. God is not either one or two. He is something expressed by these words. So, He is in Himself something which can be realized, not expressed in words. Guru Arjan gives a reason for that. Why we tell Him one? He says, because we are finite. Oh God, You are infinite. As we are finite, we only need to measure from our finite scale. So absolute God cannot be seen by anybody, and nobody has seen so far. Absolute God, nameless God, worldless God, did not come into expression. That power which came into expression, that is called world, that's called now. The outer expression of which is light and sound. And that light can be seen, that voice can be heard. That is why the Bible says, thy world is a lamp on my feet, and, you know, light on my path. So, every man, you see, about Naam, it's also the same thing. You come in contact with Naam, you see light compared to thousands of suns rising together. So you'll find what then God, every man has a secret chamber within himself, what is called the closet of the body within that, which is higher than the mind and heart both, and provides mind with the understanding to a certain extent and the heart with feelings of love. This chamber is the kingdom of God within us. This is the crest jewel, the pearl of great price. The saints, when we come in contact with them, they open this chamber by withdrawing our attention from all outside. The test of a true master is the fact that in his company, this marvelous realm opens up within us. And the light, divine light, which is expression of God, which is expression of power, is seen. And the Christ said, if your eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad said, the light of Allah is found where? In the human temples. I am quoting why this right understanding was given by saints, masters, coming from time to time. Krishna said, Lord Krishna said, I will give you divine light and you will see my glory with it. Buddha said the same thing. Every man possesses the bright mirror of illumination. This is all the Buddhists realized. Buddha further proclaimed that the way of the illumined ones is the growth of snowdrops behind the eyes. And when Christ came, it was as if a few crocuses opened their hearts to the winter sky. But now the time has come when we can have a rebirth, which Christ spoke of when He said, the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. So springtime is upon us now. There shall be more flowering things, I must say now, to come up to give us the grace of God, the contact with the God is the speaking power. So this is the revelation, spiritual revelation which is coming up. All awakenings all around. So this is to be now brought. Why are these people? These things were told in the past, in the ears of the others, after a long time of testing. Now it is given out from the open platforms. People are having it without distinction. Even those who are ready or not ready, at least they have got something. So this is what is needed. The times have changed now. So Master come from time to time to bring up these things into the queens of others who are born as man, because in man body only we can know God and no other. So absolute God, you know, is called wordless or nameless. When it came to, he wanted to be many, he manifested. And the manifestation, naturally, there are vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So Guru Nanak was asked, with what eyes do you see? He said, those eyes are different than these eyes of flesh and bones. So outward expression, this is also, you see, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Shiv netra, third eye, latent eye, dipti chu, chashme batam, Persian philosophers say, that is open. They open that thing into the beyond. This is what is one function of the master. We confound him with the teachers of the world. We do respect to them all, at whose feet we have learned something. But this is something with all philosophy that when you contact with the physical body, your outward this is not set aside. The outward expression of God is light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, or deep tissue, or shiv netra, or the third eye. Shamasta brain was asked, what about God? They don't believe unless you see God, you see. This also Master says so. Don't believe in the words of the Master. If you, unless you testify yourself, there is something. You must have something to start with, maybe little or more. That depends on each one's background. But you must have something to say. A man comes up to give you a very wonderful talk on the business principles. That is very informative, but the poor fellow to whom that talk is given, they have got no money to start with, then. So all teachers also promise you go on doing this, you will have also some time, you must be prepared, you must be ready. Or you get it at the time of death, so rest assured, your life is insured, but don't believe that. A bird in hand is better than the two in the bush. Give your all and you will have everything. No, no, not that. You must have seen. He does not want anything from you. He says, I have come to give. It is God's gift. Have it free. Do you have to pay for sunlight? Air? Why not for that gift of God which is God? Why should I be paid? So that's the first thing, you see. Masters come to give, not to take. They stand on their own legs. And Shamasta Brahma told them, Bibhayan, you should be able to see with your eyes. Bibhayan, Sare Mashu, look, the beloved within you, with your own eyes, with your God within you. And you must be able to hear His voice through your own inner ears. Now the question comes, how to open that eye with which you can see? You say, when you close your eyes, there's darkness. Then look penetrating into it, put in whole attention to it. That is knocking the door, you see, and it shall be opened. You continue to look directly there, you'll find light. Who will see that light? Your very self. So, you find, Tulsi says the same thing. Chavitabde says the thing, all say the things. Sit down in meditation, nothing comes up for years and years and years. Tulsi says, how to penetrate this darkness, you'll find that sit at the feet of somebody. When you put in, it gives you boost, you see light. Is it not wonderful? Is it not less than miracle? What more miracle is required? So, you see, unless man rises above life of senses, inner way is not open. It is you who have to see. That is why I said, know thyself, O man, know thyself. Who you are, what you are. We are what conscious entities. We have got attention. Attention is diverted from all outside and concentrated to one's own self. There you see the light. Very simple, very common sense point of view is being put before you. He says, as long as, why do we not see you? Because the ramification of the mind. Ripples are going on in the subconscious reservoir of our mind. Until that, those ripples are stand still, you cannot see him. It is something, take a pond, cover the weeds. You take out weed little by little every day, and all weed is weeded out. You can feel the water and see your face. And this weed, what is that? This is your body. The body is the beginning of all, what you say, delusion. We are having the body, we are working at the level of the body. Body is changing. Every minute of life, being made of matter. All the world around us is changing, being made of matter at the same speed at which our body is changing. As we are identified with it, this is an optical illusion that appears to be stationary. How to come out of that? This is the demonstration of which is given by man. As you are identified with the mind, outgoing faculties, and the intellect, and you have reference, have recourse to the methods, to the practices, which are concerned with those things, how can you rise above them? So, rise above body consciousness, this is it. Given out by all. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Be reborn. Be twice born. To withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below, come to the seat of the soul in the body. This is called meditation. So meditation is the way back to God. We can be had only in man body, in no other man body. So man is considered to be the highest in all creation, next to God. All gods and goddesses hanker to have the man body, because in man body alone we can know God. So Kabir says, oh man, why you boast you are the highest in man if you have not known God? Your greatest lies in effect only that you can see God. If you have not seen it, nothing. How can you? It is not a matter of only speaking. Giving long, tall talks. And actually, prayer arises from when our own efforts fail, when all human efforts fail, there the prayer succeeds. We make prayer to whom? A weak man prays to a strong man. Oh God, we are helpless, we are stuck fast in this vision of the man body, how can we come out? It's all locked on all sides. Oh God, send us some man who can take us out of the box of the man body. This is Mara Rumpa's praise. This is what Swami in all other says. Guru Nanak says, how to invert these outcomes? Somebody asked Guru Amar Das, how can you say, invert your outcome faculty? He says, sit down and see. The academic says, sit down and see how the outgoing faculties are inverted. Then what happens? He says, when your attention is drawn from outside, you are practically body dead. You got no feeling in the body. When you rise above that physical level, you see the life. This is what you can do yourself, welcome you are. I go to the masters about whom you speak so much, go and ask them. If they get so well in Karnataka, you can do yourself well and live, what more is wanted? That is why I started that revelation is required, spiritual revelation, not at the level of body, but at the level of evil propensities which are taking you away from God. This is now springtime has come up. See what happens. There are times, high times. Times have changed. Old times. So how this third eye, a single eye, is open, so to have a vision of God. First thing required is the Guru Vaya Master. Who has seen? Who sees? Who can make us see? Guru words means when you close your eyes, the darkness that removes the black darkness and light explodes out. Such a one is the elementary, what you say, criterion of the master. Not that all void, you are not ready, you must ready this and that. Old days that were done like that. Now times have changed. Who can sit at the feet of the master for years? They give you something to start with. Now to maintain it, take it that the light which is within you is not darkness. So first thing required is a guru. Master, what a guru? World made flesh is called guru. God is manifested in him, in the man body, we call him a guru. We respect him. Bulb is there, there is light. The powerhouse is working there. That light can work only through the bulb, which is not fused. We respect the bulb also. When that is fused, then another bulb is put on. That light is the God power. That is called the Master power. That is called, what you say, Christ power. That never dies. Goes on working from pole to pole to guide the child humanity way back to God. This is one thing required. Peter says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Who has not seen God, then how can they make you see?
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Jack Weinstein. Are you there, Jack?
Yes.
Okay, there you are.
The first reading will be a short reading from the book, The Teachings of Kirpal Singh, Volume 3, The New Life. It's pages 47 to 49. It's about work. Work. Closely associated with diet are the means of livelihood. There are no shortcuts in spirituality. The end here does not justify the means, as it may be construed to do anywhere else. Ignoble means to earn one's living do contaminate one's diet, the very source of life itself. So an honest living by the sweat of one's brow is essential in this line. The life plant has therefore to be nurtured with pure water to make it sound and healthy, a fit instrument for the efflorescence of spirituality. The Master's teachings do not touch the social structure of life, and therefore the thousand little duties of everyday life that one may have to do are not interfered with. Work should be done as a part of the duty is all that is stressed, and that one should not be fully submerged and attached in such work to the detriment of one's spiritual uplift. Work one must, and work one should. Work is worship, but one should dedicate all to the Master and not be grossly attached to it. A nurse would do the work of rearing up a child efficiently and with joy in return for the remuneration she gets without any attachment. So should we do all our work. In this way, the performance of physical duties will liquidate the give and take smoothly. So you may do any honest work that may bring you more financial gain, subject to the condition that you are able thereby not to forget and ignore your meditations. While you do your physical duties, let not your spiritual duties suffer. You must work earnestly for your livelihood. Work is the grand cure for all maladies and miseries that ever beset mankind. Work is worship, and as such, all honest work should be honored and undertaken in a spirit of dedication. All honest work is good, and it should not bore you. You may consider that you are simply doing your duty to your Master when you are doing work, for duty is worship. Until such time, therefore, that you can find some other suitable work, you will carry on with your present work in the most cheerful way and not consider it boredom. You must support yourself and your family by honest means. It is just a way of thinking. Consider it to be Master's work and do it as your duty. It is good to work, and one should work wholeheartedly and then forget it. To continue concerning oneself with countless petty matters will fritter away the attention. This only causes further enmeshing attachments, and wherever your thoughts are, there you will reside. Devotion to God does not mean procrastination. The lover of God works harder than other people because love knows no burden. Out of love, he serves everybody. So please develop the habit of putting your heart and soul in the work before you, be it worldly affairs or meditation. The habit of doing one thing at a time will help you to progress inwardly from day to day. Work is worship, and as such, all honest work should be honored and accepted in this sense. The usual fatigue and exhaustion are the routine functions of the physical body, yet you can relax completely by fixing your inner gaze at the eye center, releasing the pent-up tensions by rolling down all your worries and cares onto the holy feet of the Master within. You will find a radical change in your thought pattern and will be greatly relieved with the grace of the Master. If somebody else is looking after you and serving you, that will be debited against you. You will become bankrupt. If you have got money in your bank, that's all right. Otherwise, it will go against you. If some sincere seeker after truth, who was living on the earnings of others, came up to our master, he was told to put in 3 hours meditation for himself and 3 hours more for those who served him. Nobody serves you without wanting something in return. So our master asked those who were served by others to put in double time for their meditations to be successful in the way to reach God. The next reading is from the November 1974 Satsandesh. It's entitled The Power of Ojas. Ojas, that spiritual power which is the fruit of chastity. This exchange of questions and answers between the Master and his disciples took place at the Master's house at Rajpur on the evening of January 27, 1971. The Power of Ojas. Question. While reading yesterday, I came across a brief mention of the power of Ojas, but it didn't give much detail about what it is. The Master. Ojas is the power which helps you to rise into the beyond. That is called Ojas. So you will find how necessary chastity of life is. The more you have got that power within you, the more you are healthy, even if it exceeds the limit which the body requires, it will help you to go into the beyond. You see, from food and drink, the body makes some milk-like element, chyle, that rises and becomes blood. From blood forms the flesh, from flesh the bones, and then the pith of the bones. From the pith of the bones, that power arises. Those people who are not chaste, given up to unchastity, they have no hope for spirituality. So Ojas is the power which helps you to transcend into the beyond. That is why chastity is life. Sexuality is death. We sometimes use words, but we don't know the very basic purpose for which they are there. Everything which exceeds the limit that goes to spoil, you see. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That power helps. Those who are always drained out, I would say, have bad health, no thinking power. They can't do hard work. They can do nothing. Those who are not married, they should observe strict celibacy. Those who are married, they should observe it according to the scriptures. Scriptures say to marry means taking a companion in life who should be with you in weal or woe through your earthly sojourn, and both should meet God. They should help each other. One duty may be of begetting children. One, not all. We have considered, perhaps, that it is a machinery of enjoyment. That is wrong. Ojas has not been defined anywhere, I tell you. From Ojas you get that power which helps you to go into the beyond. If you have got no surplus of this valuable fluid within you, how can you sit for meditation? Now you will see how important chastity is. The word chastity is used as life, and its opposite is death, you see. These things are not explained to us. That's a pity. We ourselves do not know. Outward acting and posing won't do, I tell you, so that is why I put it in the diary forms, even in thought and word. Even if you are unchaste in thought and word, that affects you. If you observe a very simple diet and chastity, you'll be blooming. With all your tonics, with all your outward dietary proteins, these won't help you. Acting and a rich diet won't help. The effect is only temporary. I think with acting and posing, you appear to look all right. That is all. In the West, it is usual for girls to seek their own husbands and husbands to seek their own companions. There was a girl. She was ugly, and nobody liked to marry her. She was disappointed. She left the town and lived in an out-of-the-way place. Naturally, when one is disappointed, one reverts to God. She passed her days in sweet remembrance of God. After a year or so, somebody came up to her. I would like to marry you. What? What are you talking about? I am the ugliest woman in the world. No, 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 you're not ugly. No, no, don't joke with me. She saw herself in the looking glass. Her features were changed. So thoughts are very potent, you see. Chaste thought is a blessing. Ojas power is that, as I tell you, which helps you to transcend into the beyond. Question. Even the power to think depends on Ojas also? Continence of mind, that also depends on Ojas? The Master. You waste your power by thinking. Thoughts result in words and in action. That does not affect those who have no inkling whatsoever of God. If you see some of the initiates' diaries, excuse me, they are full of chastity failures indeed. They take it like a food. That is wrong. I have to give them right direction very politely. Take more care of that. Question. But does Ojas help to increase the intellect also? The Master. Chastity helps everything. If oil is oozing out of a burning lamp, then how long will that go on giving you light? That's the foundation on which the building is raised, your physical body, your intellect, your everything. Swami Ram Tirath was principal of the Government College in Lahore. He said, sometimes it so happens the most brilliant students fail their examinations. When they went into it, they found the students had lost the vital life fluid the night before. Kabir says, when a dog indulges in coition, it remains sad for a month. That it affects it 1 month. What to speak of men who indulge daily? I need not say these things so openly, but that cuts the very roots of life. I think you will rarely find those who observe chastity, say even for 1 month. They think perhaps it is part of their diet, but that is wrong. So chaste normal life is all right, as prescribed by the scriptures. That is why I say married life is no bar to spirituality, if conducted according to the scriptures. When I write something, I mean something. You see? We simply read it, that's all. Your chart is with you. Self-introspection report. Look to that. If thoughts are right, you lose less. Suppose you lose 1 grain in thought, 5 grains in word, and 0.5 pound in action. Thoughts are very potent, you see. You want to go home this very birth. All right, have it. You're sure to go. This side you try, the other side you drain out. What is that? You cannot sit for meditation. Those who say we cannot sit, our minds do not allow us. This is all due to failure. In the great legend of Ramayana, the opposing side was to fight Rama. From that side, someone came up to fight. He had observed 12 years strict celibacy, chastity of life. But from Rama's side, Laxman, who had been chaste all his life, was selected to fight. I've read Napoleon's life. By hearing his name, the whole of Europe trembled. What happened when he was caught at the Battle of Waterloo? The story goes that he fell because of this failure the night before. In everyone's life, you will find this is the drawback, the biggest drawback in the majority. Saying is something, but living is something else. In India, there were 3 or 4 invasions from the west, from Persia. Prithviraj stood against the invaders and drove them out, but finally he was captured. It was for the same reason. The day following, you are not in your sound thought, you see? I don't think you've been given such a very vivid view of this thing before. If you observe these facts, you'll bloom. Your every power will be enhanced. When you have got no light of your own, how can you understand the light? Visualizing won't do. And there are people initiated by so many masters in the world. There is failure in chastity in them too, even the heads. they've got no control over their discharge. And I never dreamt of this in my life. That has some goodness, you see, when you have a store in you. Nature does not spare anybody. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are very clear words. When you have got no power of Ojas, how can you see God? How can you rise above? It is there to give you a boost, to have something. Then you have to maintain it. Live in a normal way, not giving up to everything. The food God complained to Lord Vishnu, people eat me too much. Then he replied, those who eat more than they really require, you eat them up. So whatever is not digested, that brings in diseases. By eating too much, you are not able to digest anything. Those who indulge too much in anything, ultimately, they are not able to enjoy anything. These things eat them up. That is why you know self-introspection is most necessary, about which we care little, very little. So don't spare yourself. Question. When someone overeats, that affects chase thoughts? The Master. When food is not digested, you are not able to sit for meditation. You're drowsy. So long as your stomach can work, it is all right for 1 or 2 months, a year or so. After that, if you continue to overeat, you are not able to digest. It means the same thing, that food and drink eat you. When you are not able to digest, you lose power and strength. How do diseases come up? Whatever food remains undigested, that brings diseases. Three things kill a man: hurry, worry, and food that is not digested. You see the very importance of it? It is very good you put that question on Ojas. Question. Is loss of semen during the night strictly a matter of thoughts during the day? The Master. Surely. When you look into the eyes of others, others affect you. Eyes are the windows of the soul. Don't look into the eyes of others. Whatever sex. If you have control over yourself and you can affect others, that's another thing. During the time of discipleship, we must be very careful. When you have grown up and you have a sheet anchor, you cannot be affected by others. You'll give life to others. Sometimes we say, well, Master talks lovingly to everybody. He talks lovingly from his soul, you see, not from the body. Others who talk very lovingly talk from the level of the body. Love is no love which arises out of the body and ends in the body. Love that arises from the body and ends in the soul, that is love. All this love which ends in the body is called lust. These things are not differentiated in books, I tell you. What is lust? Lust is love. Your love which arises out of the body and ends in the body. By sitting here, by radiation, you have a boost to go into the beyond. That's love. That is why that love is called chastity. And that is why that love is called charity. Question. I misread that. I only should have read, that is why that love is called charity. Question. How strict should we be about associating with other people, even initiates? We shouldn't make any distinctions? The Master. Meet socially as much as is necessary. If you meet in a satsang, you should all think of nobody else except God. Satsang is satsang only when no other thought creeps into your mind except God. When you are there and you are meeting socially, kissing, that is no satsang. It was reported to me at one place they began to make a fuss over children, embracing them, like that. I stopped them. Well, this kind of love will spoil your lives, you see. If two glasses are packed together in one place, they will strike against each other and be broken. Is it not so? We are not yet the master of our body, you see. We're dragged like anything. So during the period of discipleship, you must be very careful. Even after that, those who are not in full control of themselves, they can also go down. We have to be very careful. When I prescribed the diary, it really meant something. Now the times have changed. Nobody can stay with a master for long periods. They must be given something. What they are given should be maintained by self-introspection. At initiation, some light and sound is given. That goes all right for some days. But if your life deteriorates, that goes. God is life, love, and light. You get life. Chastity is life. We simply read these things. We don't go to the bottom of them. God is life, love, and light. Life comes from where? Chastity. These things are not preached. That's the pity. They simply tell you, go and do this performance. Then do that. If your life is really pure, then even one thought will help you. Thank God. With all these things, you get something. It's the grace of our Master. But we have to maintain it. Normal life is all right. Question. In regards to thinking, somebody once made a statement, I think, therefore I am. But that's not true, really, because I am even if I don't think. Is that correct? The Master. You are a conscious entity, and thinking arises from consciousness. One who is not conscious, how can he think? So that is why when you say, I think, it means you're conscious. We generally use words and don't go into the bottom of what they represent. We are conscious entities. Then that consciousness works through the level of brain, through intellect. Consciousness helps you to think. So that is why it is said, God is all intellect, all wisdom, all love, all life. So God is working. He is all consciousness. And you are a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. You have got the same power, the same thing in you, life, light, and love. Once, as the president of the World Fellowship of Religions, I gave out my address on this very point, life, light, and love. People use these words. They don't follow what they actually mean. One who is given up to outward losing of all this power, he is never patient, I tell you. That's the outward symbol. Like boiling milk, he will bubble over, can't control himself. That's the one thing you'll note. But one who is very strong, considers everything calmly, this is one thing that will come out. You can judge from that, you see. One who becomes wild for the time being, cannot control himself, that is a sure sign that he is not chaste. He is losing all that power. For the building that has weak ground underneath, a strong foundation is required. Then you may have so many stories raised up high on that. But if the ground is left weak, then it will fall down. Masters have been giving this example in another way. They say, walls which are made of sand, how long will they last? Brahmacharya is the word used for chastity. Brahmacharya is the way of living to find God. Brahmacharya means self-introspection, means the way which enables you to find God. The other word is sadachar, ethical life. Brahmacharya, Brahm means God, and acharya means way of living. That is not only controlling the semen within you, but controlling all your outgoing faculties. Control your tongue, control your thought, think no evil of anybody else. Don't be affected by what you hear from others. If others say, I have seen so-and-so, do this and that thing, don't believe it. Question. So chastity is the foremost of all the virtues? The Master. It is the foundation of the physical body. The body should be founded like a building whose foundation is strong. Even thoughts affect the very child in the womb. Some children are very lusty. That is due to the parents. While the child is in the womb, we must be quite chaste, calm, loving. That will affect the child within the womb. He'll be born like that. Some children's problems are reactions of the past. Some are the reactions of the mother's thoughts. The subject is very long, you see. I will just tell you something more that will be a help to you. Animals and men, there is a vast difference between the two. When an animal becomes pregnant, no male animal will touch her. But in men, we are the highest in all creation. What do? Shameful. Is it not? My hint is sufficient. I need not go too far into it. We don't observe that. With any subject that can be thrashed out threadbare to bring home the very truth at the bottom, you see. Question. Many of the initiates, I'm sure, will be interested in this, besides myself. If we had unchaste lives before we were initiated, how long does it take? Is there a time before we are adjusted? The Master. If you take poison, that affects you. But take no more poison. To fall in sin is manly, but to remain there is devilish. A woman who had committed adultery was brought to Christ. He said, "All right, what do your scriptures say? That such a one should be stoned to death. Let her stand there, and you stone her. And who shall stone her? He who has not felt guilty of that at heart of hearts." Nobody dared. And he said, "All right, go, but do no more." In our Master's time, when people committed adultery, out of the whole gathering, one would say, "Master, I have done this thing." Baba Sawan Singh would say, "Well, can any one of you bear the burden of his sin?" Who would dare to say? Then he said, "All right, do no more." Just like that. We should stop somewhere. The poison eaten cannot be cleaned. But if you stop eating poison, then it's all right. So there is hope for everybody. Question. Sometimes I have a feeling that I lose touch with my desires because I do everything out of habit, and I found that the best way is if I try to think every moment, what do I want? I mean, what does my soul want? That way I'm asking myself what I want, and then I don't do anything that would harm me. But if I do it out of habit, the Master. I think I have given the reply very straight, and you have not followed it. The very view stated in your purpose is due to that. If you cannot live up to what he says, you have no power over yourself. You're losing. You're very loose with that. These things should not be thrown in the face. That is due to lack of filling in the diary. Like a hard taskmaster, don't spare yourself. He within you does not spare even me, I tell you. God bless you. This means that there's a very strong, vigilant watch to be kept. As I have said already, a man must fall down unless he's got some boost above, some sheet anchor within himself. I am giving you something very true, I think, very basic, to which you pay little or no attention. We are already given up to sensual desires, enjoyment, in one way or the other. So long as we are just stuck fast there, how can we rise above it? There should be some discipline. If a doctor comes to you, you have got fever, and he tells you not to take any solid food, you have to live up to it. This is the path of discipleship I am explaining to you. You have to be very careful. But if you live up to it for a certain time in a particular way, that will become your habit, and you will live longer for it. That way it will turn into nature. You won't be able to do otherwise. So why not make the best use of the habit of the mind? Do one thing today, tomorrow, for a month or so, then naturally you will have the trend of mind to go there. Make your mind a friend, you see? All right, let us do this. When habit is formed, then you're saved. The mind has a tendency to bring you back to earth. That's all. So long as our thoughts, our thinking, our consciousness are bound down to the outgoing faculties, we cannot rise. Once we learn how to rise above them and have the higher inkling, every day have that bliss, naturally we won't like to come down. That will come by habit. We have to work for it. Some boost or some capital is given. That is a great concession. But maintain it. That is the conclusion of this incredible talk on the power of Ojas by our beloved Master Kripal. We thank you, beloved Master Kripal, for all your grace, your total truth and love. We are so, so grateful. You are so wonderful. We love you.
Thank you, Jack, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 78 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.